Coach, I thought we could start at the very beginning. Could you paint us a picture of what your childhood looked like growing up in American Samoa?
Oh, gosh. How much time we have? So I'm one of eight, third to the youngest. You know, growing up in Samoa was, you know, simple, but very loving family. You know, dad was a teacher. Mom, at a point, worked at the hospital. But I made my way up to San Diego and attended high school there in Oceanside for my freshman year. And that's why I got recruited. And I think that's where it started. But, you know, growing up in the islands in Samoa was, you know, it's the life of a Polynesian or Samoan. It's about, you know, faith and family. Everybody contributes to the greater good of the family. So, you know, you had to find your way in learning how to play your role, you know, growing up. And so being a third to the youngest, you know, the pecking order is pretty clear. So it was special to have that opportunity.
And I know it was actually baseball that brought you over to California. Did you experience any kind of culture shock when you first moved to the United States?
Well, it's like going from 25 miles an hour speed zone to 75. The transition. Obviously, we had the first Samoan baseball player that played in the majors and retired, and Tony Salita. He moved back home and started Little League baseball. That's how I got into baseball and thought I was decent at it. Got a chance to move over to the States playing baseball, but then got introduced to American football. So the transition wasn't easy, you know. It was hard because I've never played a game before, but loved everything about it. The competition, the training. I think it was more the transition and how it wasn't easy that kind of got me really wanted to stick with it, even though it wasn't easy. But love every bit of it, and it eventually got better and better as the years went on. So truly appreciate the fact that I was able to make that transition.
What is your earliest football memory?
Other than getting run over by smaller players because I didn't know what I was doing. You know, obviously getting recruited and being here as a former student athlete. Like many athletes, I came through here and played for Dick Tomey. We had some great moments. I think the bond, the camaraderie, I think guys that felt like we had to prove ourselves each week, and guys that just, you know, was really competing to represent the A. And I think having the memories of whether it be the Fiesta Bowl beating Miami 29-0 as a freshman, and obviously it was just awesome to witness our basketball team, men's basketball team, hoist the national title. But, you know, I think more so just the people. I can vividly remember the conversations with every assistant coaches and every teammate that went on. And I think those experiences is what made this place special. Mm-hmm.
As you reflect on your years here as a student athlete playing for the football team, how did you see yourself grow, not only in the game, but also as a person?
I think coming in, I had some great examples. So there were some older players here that were already established the player-led experience. And it's easy to fall in line when you have guys like Pulu Pomele, rest his soul, Teddy Bruschi, Rob Waldrop. I mean, there's, hate to name names because I'm going to forget a lot of them. But, you know, when you're coming in as a younger player and you observe and you see that those are the guys, there's a certain level that and a standard that is being set. And all you want to do is, you know, play your part and contribute to, you know, upholding that standard while you build your own legacy. I see those are the things that really stood out in my experiences here.
Were those some of the first guys that you would say you looked up to, some Polynesian football players when you got here, or were there some guys from the islands maybe in the league when you were younger and starting the game that you looked up to?
You know, I kind of, you know, just having a little bit of an knowledge of what Coach Tomei did over the years prior to getting here from Hawaii. There were obviously some great Polynesian players that he had coached and went on to the NFL. And so I think coming over here to Arizona and learning more about that and how he kept recruiting the islands was a big draw for me, and to really feel in the family atmosphere and how I felt comfortable connecting with Coach. Because if you would have told me that Coach is not from the Midwest and he's from the islands, I wouldn't have believed it, because that's how strong his relationship was of his time spent in the islands with the University of Hawaii. So I like this white coach has a strong relationship with his former Polynesian players, the likes of Jesse Isapolu, Kenny Matalolo, all those guys. And again, it's truly an honor for me to be able to play for Coach. I would run through the wall for Coach because of what he meant as a person. You know, he was a father figure to a lot of the guys, and obviously outside of my family, he was that one, you know. And after I left here, I got into the NFL, he was my go-to in certain things. I run it by Coach, and obviously he was the big reason why I got into coaching. And so the transition was a little easier because of who he was and the blueprint that he had set out, just as far as just dealing with people and the relationship. And so those are the things that I'm really grateful to have gotten from Coach.
Yeah, how special is it being back here now coaching and continuing his legacy?
It's surreal, but also it's a responsibility now to really recruit to the type of person and players and individuals that are fit for this program. To make sure that it's vertically aligned with the vision that we have here with Coach Brennan now. But again, I go back to the experiences as a former athlete here, a student athlete here. It's about family, pushing each other, having mutual respect, and with the one singular goal, you know, and how we do things, not just on one day, but every day. So fast forward to now, I'm really excited. We've been working tirelessly since January. I got into the building and seeing where we're at and where this needs to go. Just hitting the ground running through spring. Had a great spring, great energy. I thought our guys brought the excitement, the will to learn and to work. Got on the road and reconnected with some old names and faces on the West Coast and even down in the islands, and it reflected the way we approached the official visits this entire month. And we're excited. I'm really, really excited for where this is trending. And it's just gonna come with consistent hard work and everybody doing their job. But I'm very, very honored to be back.
Okay, now I want you to take us back to the moment that you were drafted in the fourth round of the NFL draft. What were the emotions like?
You know, that part was never planned. And I mentioned this to a lot of people. Wanted to get my degree because I wanted to approach, or at least try to get into law enforcement. That's what I wanted to do. But, you know, I guess I did enough good things and worked hard enough to get the phone call and to have the late Bud Adams on the other line of the telephone, and Jeff Fisher and the Tennessee Oilers. It's obviously a surreal moment, more so because it was a kid that grew up in Samoa. I didn't attend camps, you know, really a late bloomer. But to be able to have that moment and to have it happen the way it did, I was so grateful, and I can vividly remember the conversation. And even when I hung up the phone, and everybody in our living room, you know, going crazy because, you know, your name comes across the ticker and as a fourth round pick. I think those things really put a stamp on who I was surrounded by, and I attribute my teammates, the ones before, the ones that came after, the ones that I had played with, and then all the assistant coaches that had to fortune of playing and working with Coach Tomey. I think those are the, that's what highlighted that moment, was the committee of people that I was surrounded by. And it's so cool to be on the staff now, and some teammates that I played with, Brandon Sanders, and you know, it's mutual respect, but also, you know, the excitement to build and getting this this program on its way.
Yeah, give more guys those opportunities, yes, too, and those experiences. And then after you spent a couple years in the league, you started the Joe Salavea Foundation. What sparked that interest for you?
You know, back home on the island, most of our young people, you know, unless they get a scholarship or academic scholarship outside of an athletic scholarship, you're either joining the military, or you're, you know, you're just staying home and working. So fast forward to me being in the NFL, I just felt going home wasn't good enough. It was just wanting to find a way to inspire, to empower, and to elevate and transform our young people's thinking as far as beyond the shores of the island. And we started the nonprofit, and me and my wife, and really, that was the mission statement, right? The Joe Salavea Foundation, empowering, educating, and elevating the youth. And so we went to work and did it for several years. And it's surreal because some of the former players, some of the current NFL players, and some of the former NFL guys that had tremendous careers, and every now and then I'll bump into them, and they'll testify that, hey, my coach, I remember when you came and talked to us on some of your vacation time and your foundation, and we were in those classrooms, and it's like, it's not good because then they're telling my age, you know. But to be able to listen and see their eyes lit up, and so I'm really grateful that I had the opportunity to serve the community on the island, and those are the things why I always go back to the influences of my journey as a young man, from high school to college. It's about paying forward and giving it back. And so this opportunity, this platform and space is allowing me to recruit the youth and the athletes on the island. And we're doing just that. You know, we just recently had a young man and his family here from Samoa. And, you know, it's a, we have to, that's our footprint. And this university in the past has created that, and we want to continue to build that and enforce it and make it stronger.
I know you've been an ambassador for growing the game at every stop you've made along the way coaching. How special is that you're able to combine a passion of coaching with also the passion of spreading the love of the game?
You know, I go back to, how can you make a place better than what it was before? You know, I was raised by two hardworking parents that believed in giving back to the community, giving back to the village, the church. And so I've never lost touch with that, even when I left the shores of American Samoa. And so through my journey, through as a former professional athlete, through the foundation, and anywhere I go to, I've always tried to make it a point to have those conversations with the youth or young athletes that are aspiring to go to that next level. And now with being a coach and a college coach, you know, using this platform to not only just recruit for who we're trying to target as future Wildcats, but also just, you know, being able to advise some of these families so that they can make good on their opportunities without any reservation. I'll do that all the time, every time, because I truly believe that what you do for others will come back to you twofold. You know, I'm a father of two. My youngest son is a high school graduate. He's going to be a Wildcat and enrolled here this fall. So I'm excited about that, JJ. And my daughter, the oldest, recent graduate from University of Miami, and she's going through her process to further her education in a law school. And so I pray that they're going to be surrounded by great people genuine people that are going to pour into them and making them better people in their journey. And so I do what I do to hopefully have that be reciprocated back to them. And, you know, all that is because I have a understanding wife that was there when I was an athlete and now as a coach's wife. Her perspective and knowledge, really, I encourage all the families and athletes to tap in and ask her, because she has a pretty keen idea of what all the things that comes with this profession as young athletes, because she's been there. And they're not always sunshine and shiny. And so she's a really good resource. And she keeps me centered and on my toes on the things that I need to understand and not miss, because we're getting pulled from all kinds of directions. So it's been awesome.
As your time as an athlete was coming to an end in the NFL, what was it about coaching that got your interest in, made you think, okay, this is the next step for me?
I think because my profound respect for Coach Tomey, the more he spoke, he seeked me out and introduced me to coaching, which I wasn't really initially open to it, you know. But I did mention to Coach that I will volunteer, but he kept talking. The more he talked, he's just one of those human beings that the more he spoke, the more he resonated with you. And so before I know it, I'm talking to my wife, hey, I'm coaching, extended an opportunity to go volunteer at San Jose State when he came out of the retirement that I thought he was on. And but I think, you know, that that experience and that conversation really, I didn't see it. He saw it in me, just my approach to everyone, and he felt that, you know, I would make a decent teacher of the game as a former athlete, because it's just one thing about you play the game, but it's also a different challenge to teach the game. And so those are the things I'm grateful for the assistant coach for playing for Coach Rich Ellerson here, Coach Marty Long. All those experiences really kind of got rekindled and highlighted when Coach was talking to me about getting into coaching. And so, you know, it's just truly an honor and a blast to have him be the reason why I got into this thing. And just, it's all about relationship and people. And I'm so grateful that Desiree and Brandon, Coach Brandon, had allowed and extended an opportunity for me and my family to be back here with the program.
As a coach, you have mentored so many guys who've had not only illustrious times in college playing, but also have gone on and played years in the NFL. What do you feel like is the common denominator when you're recruiting these players and coaching and building them up?
Being truthful, be transparent. These families don't have much, especially the ones from home. So they're grasping and grabbing on to every word that you speak. And so my goal was to try to make sure that I lay everything on the table, what the university is all about, what it brings and provides, and also how does that fit with their son. And, you know, those are the things I was reminded by my wife, to make sure that I don't lose sight of that as much as all the other things are going on. But dealing with families back home, you know, some of those families never make it up for an official visit. It's just the players, it's just, you know, it just never works out. But so it's really important, vitally important, that I go down there and take the time to talk about the university, what the program is all about, who are in place to support them. Just understanding as a young man growing up in the islands, you know, there's so much out there that we are not exposed to. And so all of a sudden now you're coming into a visit or campus visit. There's so many things going on, and sometimes it's information overload. And so I really try to lay those things on the front end, so then they can slowly digest and understand those things and then formulate questions. But I think just being transparent And also be sensitive to the family dynamic, because it's a different to say that everybody's the same is probably the most inaccurate thing, let alone families or young men that are, young athletes are coming from the island straight to the U.S. That's a big transition on its own, you know? And then there's also the language barrier, because some of those young people didn't have to speak English full time. You know, they have the luxury to speak the native Samoan language. But I think those are the things that helped me with recruiting the islands, you know, also showing up. I can't recruit social media type recruiting or retweeting, whatever. You have to physically go down there and walk those villages and those campuses, just like we would here, because it's important. The trust is a big deal to those families, and loyalty is what, you really go back to what Coach Tomi had established. He has, you know, with the community, Polynesian community, you speak with Dick Tomi down there, and their eyes light up because of the truth, the loyalty aspect, and the integrity of how he approached every single family. And so he had a way of inspiring and grabbing each and everybody's attention. And so those are the things I try to apply in my approach. Does it always work? No. But I can leave knowing that I was upfront, I was real and truthful. And that's all they ask. You know, and so if the families are chasing things outside of that, you know, so be it. But I know the young men that I'm going to get for the program that I'm with, they're going to be ambassadors for many, many years beyond the scope of college. And so been really fortunate to have a lot of those guys, all of them, to graduate and then making their way to the NFL, and to see them, whether it be winning a Super Bowl championship ring or signing contracts and all those things and living out their best lives and their dreams. You know, it's just a blessing and an honor just to have a chance to play a small role in there. And that's what I'm doing now. I want to pour into our guys who are in the building now to position them, because there's never a guarantee, but position them to be ready to go after that goal and dream of to be a professional athlete. And so those are probably the biggest experiences that I can take back from doing what we do now.